We're going to go in Lessons from the Desert. Now, desert, boy, that sounds exciting, doesn't it? Lessons from the Desert. But what we're going to be doing, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to be studying about the Lord Jesus and how He's going to speak to us on some very, very special things. Because I think sometimes, no, I know it, sometimes God has to get us away. And when He gets us away, He may put us in a desert place, but when He puts you there, He's got something that He wants to teach you. And sometimes those lessons come very, very difficult. I mean, you think about Jesus. Now, after he was baptized, the Holy Spirit led him away, according to chapter 4 and verse 1, and led him out into the wilderness, and for 40 days, can you imagine that? No chili, no Brunswick stew, no cheese dip, no cracker. I mean, all everything, yeah, none of that. 40 days. And then the Scripture says he became hungry. And then when he became hungry, then all of a sudden, that's when Satan comes along and he says, "Which is it, Jesus? If you're the Son of God, turn that stone into bread." Well, that's the background behind the first lesson in the desert. But what's so important is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." You know, I wanted to ask the children, which one would y'all rather have this morning? Would y'all rather have the bread for lunch, or would y'all rather have the stone? But I'm afraid they would have chose the bread, because I knew what the adults would do. And so, you know, therefore I didn't ask them that specific question. But this is what I do know. I do know that when God got ready to speak, He took Moses out into the desert for 40 years. This is what I do know. That when God got ready for John the Baptist to start his work, He first of all carried him out into the wilderness, and he was raised out into the wilderness where it was him and God. And God started speaking to him in a very special way. Do y'all know Saul? We know him as the Apostle Paul. After the road to Damascus, after he went there, you know what happened to him? He went out into the desert area for 3 years. Why? The Lord Jesus was going to speak to him. And then the Lord Jesus Himself, who came in the flesh, God, through the Holy Spirit, sent Jesus out into the wilderness for a very special reason. This is the time that where Jesus and Satan went head on. And whoever won this battle would win it all the way through. And this is the main head-on time in which you see Jesus and Satan going after. And Satan knew how to attack him, because by the way, Satan knows how to attack you too. Something I want us to learn right here is that living by God's Word in total obedience to the one deserving our undivided worship and service brings real satisfaction that is lasting. Now that was a mouthful. But this is something that I believe that Jesus teaches us out in the wilderness. Living by God's Word in total obedience to the one deserving our undivided worship and service brings about real satisfaction that is lasting. Now let's see. Can you hear me? How many times do we do that? You know, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And then all of a sudden I can hear you. Can you hear me now? I can hear you. How many times, you know, that happens to me all the time. And, you know, I mean, right in the middle of talking about this message, excuse me, right in the middle of talking, then all of a sudden, that line just drops off. Bam! And you're talking into the wind. And then when you get through, you realize you're talking to yourself. Isn't that crazy? It's kind of funny sometimes. Can you hear me now? I mean, it really is. I mean, that guy made a million on the commercial doing that. But sometimes that's the way it is with God, isn't it? Can you hear me now? Hey, do you talk to God? Does God talk to you? Have you ever heard the voice of God? Ooh, thought question. Tricky question. Does God speak to you? You hear God's voice. And sometimes we want to say to God, "Can you hear me now?" And by the way, His voice never drops off. His batteries never run low. He can always hear us. But can we hear Him? And we're going to look at that as we begin to look at these lessons in the desert and we go in, because how do you recognize in 2012, how do you recognize true satisfaction? That's what we want. 2012 is going to be the greatest year of our life. I tell my children, I said, you know, every year is a good year. Some years are better than others. But every year is a good year. Inside that year, you're going to have the best of times and you may have the worst of times. But one thing is for certain. For those who are believers in Christ, you know what we're doing? We're getting closer. We're getting closer. That's the reason I like to tell people. You know what? They say, "Well, what are you doing?" I say, "Well, man, I'm laying up treasures and I'm getting closer to them every day." And what comes to your mind? Treasures. What are you talking about? Is that 401k? No. Is that stock? No. Are laying up treasures? Treasures where? In heaven. If you lay up treasures here on this earth, are you getting closer to them or further away? Further away. That's exactly right. So what we want to do is lay up treasures and get closer to 2012. This could very well be the year the Lord Jesus comes back. Wouldn't that be neat? 2012. Well, as we want to have real satisfaction, authentic satisfaction in the year 2012. So, lessons in the desert will kind of give you the short version. Short version is one, live by the Word. Live by the Word. Jesus is going to say, you know, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Over the next 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, I want you to concentrate on the words of the Lord Jesus. The background is all the other stuff, what Satan says and all that. That's the background. But focus on what Jesus is saying. Live by the Word. Number two, it's going to be live in obedience. Again, we'll talk about the background later, but the Scripture says it is written, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God." So if we're going to live by the Word, we're going to live in obedience, and when we live in obedience to the Lord, then we do not want to tempt the Lord Jesus. Do we ever try that? Do we ever do that? Can you hear me now? Okay. All right. Now, number three is live to worship. The Scripture is going to say, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, ye shall worship the Lord your God." We want to live to serve. That gives you purpose and meaning. Purpose and meaning. I had some friends show up this morning. I won't call their names right now, but I had some friends show up, and all of a sudden, man, my mind went like, wow, purpose and meaning, boy, look out here, yeah, and then I get running in full speed, and then all of a sudden I have to say to myself, whoa, slow down, big boy, slow down, okay, but you know, there's purpose and meaning when we recognize you shall worship Lord your God. Then, that's worship. In 2012, we want to worship the Lord our God, but number two is, we want to do what? Not only do we want to worship, but we want to serve the Lord. That's number four. Serve the Lord. These are the four lessons that we're going to discover out in the wilderness. And it's going to be that of the Word of God. We're going to live in the Word. We're going to live in obedience. We're going to live to worship. And then we are going to live to serve Him. But now, in order to do that, what does this really mean? And let's look at some of these things that happen. Living by the Word, what does it mean? Let me give you the battleground. The battleground is what you're going to have in the year 2012. You're going to have a battle of the flesh. The Lord Jesus, when He went out into the wilderness, He had a battle of the flesh. 40 days without food, Scripture says, after the 40 days, the fast was over, and He was hungry. You know what? We do these New Year's resolutions all the time. Boy, you know what mine is? I don't know what yours is. I want to walk 365 miles. I want to lose 10 pounds, and I can gain it back. It's okay. That's built in. I can gain it back. But I want to lose 10 pounds, and I want to read through the Bible in a year. And you know what? And God's going to allow me to do that. And by the way, I would like many of you to do that with me too. I'd like for you to just say, I'm not telling you walk 365 miles. That's a mile a day. Okay. All right. And if you miss a day, that's two. Boy, we'll have a catch up 1 month. But anyhow, you know what? We'll do it. But reading the Bible through, I'm going to be reading through the New Living Translation this year. I read through with the Chronological Bible last year. with the NIV, New International Version, this year. I'm going to be using the New Living Translation. And by the way, if any of you want to join in on that, the paperback up till January the 9th, it costs $9.95. Anybody in the church that would like to read through the Bible in a year, we'll give you the Bible for free. All you have to do is give me your name so I can order the book before January the 9th. And see, if I get the book on January the 9th, that means you got 9 days of catch-up reading. Okay? But if you want to go ahead and start in the bulletin, you can see what the verses are going to be covered in week one. Okay? So anyone in the church that would like to read through the Bible chronologically, that means how things begin to happen, how things occur, if you'll just give me your name or Miss Flora your name, and as long as I get your name, we'll get you the book. Okay? And it won't cost you a dime. Okay? So that's what we're going to do as a church. So you can read through the Bible with us this year. And by the way, commercial time, there's more. On Monday night, thank you. I tell you what, why don't you tell us about Monday night? Boy, you threw up the sign. See what happens? What's going to happen Monday night?
We're having Bible study at our home.
And the subject matter this year is going to be whatever you read that week in your daily Bible reading. That's going to be the subject matter. And so with the chronological Bible going through the book. So therefore, these are opportunities. That's what's going to happen in 2012. Throw up another sign and see what happens, huh? Okay, all right. But this, you're welcome. If you need more information, see Ms. Deborah or myself afterwards or Mr. Amos, and we'll be glad to give you that information. Okay, so now what is happening? We got to see the battleground. The battleground is going to be that of the flesh. And we understand that this is going to happen. So what we have to do is we have to take the God-given desires and use them for a God-given purpose. Every one of us has physical desires. But this is the problem. When your physical desires overrun your mind, then you start running down the wrong direction. Wait a minute, let me say that again. When your physical desires override the mind, then you start running down the wrong direction. So what we have to do, we have to put our mind in gear before our mouth moves and before our feet move, and therefore we have to bring the Word of God inside of us so that we will have a God-given purpose and we will allow the mental and the spiritual to overcome the physical. And that's a battleground. There's a basic truth behind this that teaches us that we need to grow in the Word, and that's physical and spiritual growth. In other words, take the God-given words and place them into a God-given plan. Do you believe that God actually has a plan for your life? He really does. God's got a plan. You want to know that plan? The Scripture says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." So what's going to happen in 2012? You're going to take the ear and you're going to hear, and then you're going to take the mind and the body and you're going to put them in gear and you're going to put this in God's plan, and then God is going to work out those things that are best for you. And behind this, we're going to say, okay, now what is this based on? We're going to have doctrine behind this in the year 2012. We're going to start a journey. We're going to be justified. We're going to take God's inerrant Word, and then when we take God's inerrant Word, we're going to put it in His plan, His Word, His plan for His glory. And then when that happens, people who are performing the right actions are going to walk by faith, because when you take the power of faith and you use it to experience God's authentic satisfaction, then it all works together. And when you get down to the end of the year, you're going to say, wow, that was neat. What's going to happen? 2012. Well, when we're looking in verse 4, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, I want you to kind of keep that thing focused. So as you, I got to get out of the book of James. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, I want us to keep our text handy with us, because it says, "And it is written, man shall not live by bread alone." I want you to know inside of this verse, there's positive things and negative things. There's going to be positive things in your life and there's going to be negative things in your life. And let me ask you a question. Okay, you ready for this one? This is one of those big ones. Do you eat to live or do you live to eat? Uh-oh. Do you eat to... Okay, all right. Do you eat to live or do you live to eat? Well, it's not too tricky. I'm going to try so hard this year. Eat to live. That's how I'm going to get that 10 pounds. Okay? But you know, when I start thinking about that, do I eat to live or live to eat? Here's what the Lord Jesus said. The positive and the negative, it said, man shall not live by bread alone. That's the negative side. The negative is, hey, look, there's more to life than just eating. Surprise, surprise. There's more to life than just bread. That's the negative side. There's more to life. What's the positive side? Here's the positive side. But every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that's the positive side. If you really want to go strong, if you really want to be satisfied, if you really want authentic life, then what do? You begin to feast on the Word of God. So life does not exist solely on what we eat. Because you know what? Last night, we ate so much chili. I didn't get your stew, okay? I was too full. But we ate so much other stuff right here. But you know, this morning, you know what I woke up? I was hungry. It's hard to believe that. I mean, if you saw my plate, it's hard to believe anybody can be hungry after that. But that's the way it is with bread. Soon it's going to pass away. But you know what? With the Word of God, it never passes away. It's satisfying. And when I woke up this morning, I was still satisfied with the Word of God. It's eternal. It's eternal. That's what God is speaking to us. And so when we begin to understand these things, they're so neat. Well, you know, you were created with this deep desire that only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring authentic, lasting satisfaction. But does it ever sound like an info commercial? Does anybody ever say to you, well, you need to do this and you need to do it now? I think that's one reason I hate commercials. Best button on the dial is the mute button. Well, you got to be a man to understand that. Best button on the dial, I mean, because men are the only ones that really work. I mean, my strongest muscles in my thumb. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, inside of that, when we, in light of that, all of a sudden we see what happened. Stop telling me what I need. I don't need another info commercial. But wait a minute. Would you consider something very special right here? Would you consider coming outside and looking around and getting off an island? Because an island can be a very lonely place. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. Or if you want to turn over there, let's do that. Philippians chapter 4. Because there's something inside of this that's very beautiful. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading with verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I want you to look at two special verses. Verse 7. In verse 7, do you see the peace of God? Can you hear me now? You see the peace of God? And then do you see verse 9, it says, the God of peace? Whoa! When we get off this island, that's just us living on it, and we start looking around, then all of a sudden we can experience peace. Not only peace, but we also can know the God of peace, the one who's the giver of peace. We get to know Him. He gets to know us, and we have peace inside of us. So we're moving along that fashion, understanding, experience of peace, thinking about what's beautiful, thinking about things that are pure, and all of a sudden this peace will just start overflowing your life. Well, authentic life is also sustained in the nourishment of the authentic Word. But when you take hold of the authentic Word, you got to move on. Because what happened to the Lord Jesus? The Scripture says Jesus was led by the Spirit. And in this year, we want to be studying the Spirit. In fact, after we go with the lessons in the desert, we're going to go with lessons or dealing with the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. That's going to be the next series that's going to come back up. The fruit of the Spirit. Is the fruit of, how much do you have of the fruit of the Spirit? How much alive? Is it really working inside of you? It is. It is. And I just want to show you the beauty of that. But we got to stay with the lesson. First of all, we want to see the Spirit led. Because if you are going to be walking and have an authentic relationship, you're going to have the peace of God, peace with God, your faith is going to have to be tested. Okay? Authentic life must be tested. Verse 1, chapter 4, book of Matthew says, the Lord Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In other words, a faith that is not tested is no faith at all. You are going to be tested in this year. And what we must recognize is that that's not going to be uncommon that our faith is being tested, according to 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which to try you. What is happening right here is that God is going to come along and God is going to test the very fiber of your being. What? Why is God going to do that? Because God wants you to experience the great peace. But you're not going to experience the peace without the testing. I'll give you two pictures of that. One, Abraham, 100 years old. God says to him, take your son Isaac, go to Mount Moriah, to the stone, and sacrifice your son to me. Abraham, what did he do? Abraham heard the voice of God and obeyed. He took his son and he was ready to sacrifice him. The knife was up in the air. The child was down below, ready to take the life. And then the angel of the Lord said, wait, Abraham. Abraham's faith was tested all the way to the point of his own son giving him to the Lord. That was the Lord's testing. But now wait a minute. During this year also you may experience something else. Let me carry you to Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, all of a sudden we find Satan walking up and down. And he approaches God. And God says to Satan, Satan, where have you been? He says, I've been walking up and down, just eating up anybody that I want. And then the Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And then, folks, the battle was on. Job lost his health, his family, his possessions, his friends. Job lost it all. Where did that come from? Was that a test of God or a test of Satan? That was a test of Satan. Satan tries to tear you down. The Lord God will test you to build you up. And sometimes we don't know the difference where it's coming from. What do we have to do? In 2012, we've got to say, God, I need you. Help me through this, Lord. Help me through this. It's a spiritual discipline. Also, a spiritual guide, the Spirit led. But then the spiritual discipline, an authentic life is designed. When in verse 2, Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, he says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Jesus fasted and he faced the battles of the flesh. Folks, we're going to face. Michael and his family right now is facing a battle of the flesh. Mr. Shelton, folks, is battling. That's a battle, folks. We have to run these battles and we got to pray for one another. The Lord Jesus, he was tested in the battle of the flesh. And in this year, it's going to be a time of prayer and fasting. Jesus gave instructions how to fast in Matthew 6:16. He said, moreover, when you fast. Jesus gave the time to fast in Mark 2:20. He said, but all these days, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, and then they will fast in those days. And Jesus gave an example of fasting, a benefit of fasting, in Matthew 17, verse 21, where He says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." What are you saying? I'm saying spiritual discipline. We've got to have authentic life requires discipline. And so therefore, we're calling the church on January the 7th for a day of prayer and fasting. Listen, folks, you say, "Well, what do I need to pray for?" Our country needs your prayers. Our state needs your prayers. Our city needs your prayers. Our church needs your prayers. Our family needs your prayers. I don't know what God will specifically put on your heart during that period of time, but this I do know. Many things will only occur as a result of prayer and fasting. And so therefore, we as a body, we will discipline our flesh so that the Spirit may accomplish great things. Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. An authentic life will be tested by an authentic test. Verse 3 says, "Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, 'If You are the Son of God, command these stones, that these stones become bread.'" How are you going to be tested? How are you going to be tested? What is the need in your life? If the need for your life to become authentic faith is so strong, you may be tested by Satan himself. The Lord Jesus, the test, the tempter was necessary for the test. What's the test in your life? Well, is it going to be a job? Is it going to be a family? Is it going to be a relationship? Is it going to be a health issue? I don't know what the issue will be. But this I do know, in the course of the time, the tempter is going to come, and it will be so that your faith becomes authentic. For Jesus, His faith was faced off with Satan. Satan was a worthy instrument for the testing of the Lord Jesus. But I also want you to know something else. Did you read that scripture where it says, "Then Satan came"? Hey, can you hear me now? "Then Satan came." What does that mean? That means that Satan was not there where Jesus was all the time. Sometimes we think Satan is perched up on our shoulder. He's not. He's not. "Then Satan came." Battle was on. Satan was defeated. And Satan left the Lord Jesus. That tells us something very important here. That many of the testings are only for a period of time. They may be intense. They may be to prove us. In 1 Peter 5:8 it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." In other words, He's coming, folks. But you can have authentic victory. I want you to know spiritual victory is on the way. Authentic living demands an authentic source of strength. And what God is saying is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, He says, "But it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's how you're going to have the victory. Connecting into the Word with an authentic test, with the authentic Word, and all of a sudden the peace of God and the God of peace is going to come, and He is going to help you through. He is going to help you, and you will experience victory this year. You will experience peace. You will experience an authentic relationship with God. And then all of a sudden when God speaks, you will hear. There was a grandma and a little teenage girl. They were walking through the mall, and as they were walking through the mall, all of a sudden, little granddaughter on her cell phone said, "Hello," and call that name, that girl, right off. Another friend calls just a moment, said, "Hello," and call that name right off. And old Granny, she didn't know what was going on. So Granny said, "Honey, how is it that you know everybody that's going to call you?" And she reached up there and hugged Granny and said, "Oh, Granny, it's caller ID." And then Granny said, "Oh, I understand. Back in my day, it was party line." Hey, does anybody remember the party line? Yeah, we were on the 8 party line. If you want to have a good discussion, just pick up the phone and listen. Oh, did you ever do that? I'll never tell. But that was caller ID in our day and time. You know, but God speaks. God speaks. And God wants to speak to you as an individual. And God wants to talk to you. And listen, folks, a lot of people want to turn their back on the Word, but the Word of God, hey, was written over a 4,000-year period for over 40 authors. And it was tried to... King Jehoiakim, the Word of God was given to him. And you know what King Jehoiakim did? He took his knife and the Word of God, he cut it in little pieces and he threw it in the fire. Cut another piece, threw it in the fire. Jeremiah had sent him the Word of God and he burned it. Listen, folks, you can burn the Word, but the Word is going to burn you. Word came back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah sent him another copy of the Word of God. Said this time, he said, okay, Jehoiakim, you're going to die, buddy. And your body's going to be left out in the day and in the night. You're just going to be stretched out. You're going to be left. You're going to be dead. And all your children are going to be killed. Now, I don't think I'd want to read that. But after he burned the Word of God, all of a sudden the Word came back to him. And that's exactly what happened. You don't burn the Word of God. Folks, it will burn. It will accomplish what it set out. So the Lord Jesus said, look, if we're going to have satisfaction, if we're going to understand this, satisfaction comes with a test that's been challenged by time. And the Word of God has been challenged by time, but now we're going to stand that test. But number two, satisfaction comes from the balance of the physical and the spiritual. Where does that balance come from? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So therefore, feeding the body requires nourishment. We require nourishment. We need to care for this body. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. In other words, feed the body, care for the body, exercise the body. Ooh, I don't like that word. But 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy 4:8. It does profit a little bit. So therefore, we need to feed the body, care for the body, exercise the body, and we need to live godly. We need to live godly so that we might experience satisfaction. Then as we hurry through this, satisfaction comes by taking in every word of God. Satisfaction comes by taking in every word of God. In other words, the Word of God will be taken totally. We must take the Word of God in its complete application. It's not a smorgasbord. It's not pick and choose. But take the Word of God totally. Because the Word of God comes from the voice of God. The Scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. When God speaks, He speaks of supernatural origin. Dr. R.G. Lee said it was divine in authority, infallible in authority, personal in application, immeasurable in power, inestimable in value, unequaled in plainness of language, infinite in scope, identified with the promotion of liberty, possessing the wonder of self-authentication, enduring as the life of God, wide as the moral government of God, wonderful in translation. And he goes on and on and on about what the Word of God is. And he goes on to say, the Scripture records that the Word of God is truth, the Word of God is honey, that the Bible is the gospel, the seed for sowing. It is gold for enrichment. It is milk for nourishment. The Bible is meat for strengthening. Listen, folks, the Word of God is what is here, and it's here to stay. And so therefore, we must hear His voice, and we must follow it. And in 2012, God's going to bring some great things here. But we need to hear. We need to listen for the voice of God, because the voice of God is nearing. So what should we say here? As the voice of God approaches us, let's get prepared. Let's get prepared. Let's be ready. I was reading this week where Christianity growth exponentially in Africa. So much of what I've heard lately, we talk about how the church is being knocked down and how this is happening here. But folks, it's been recorded. I think it was the Pew Authority did that Christianity is the greatest, largest number of people in religion in the world today. Folks, it's winning Africa over like crazy. Over 5% of the population in China. People who are receiving the Lord. Listen, folks, God's not dead. In 2012, we're going to see how great God really is. And you are going to be a part of that. It's alive. It's living. God wants you to experience that peace now and this year to come. Okay? Lessons in the desert. Number one is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of the mouth of God. Lesson number one. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this day, we are mindful of the Lord Jesus. And You've given us a brand new beginning, Lord, right here. God, my mind is just going wild because of the people that You have brought into this room this morning. Lord, in 2012, so exciting. New beginnings, new hope, new help, new faith, new strength, new encouragement, the peace of God and the God of peace, new life. Oh, Father, it's all happening in this room right now. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for bringing this family together to worship You. And Lord, we pray for Mr. Shelton. And we pray for his family. Lord, things are changing in their life. And Lord, they need a touch of the healing hand of God, the merciful hand of God. And we pray for Mr. Shelton. God, be with him this hour, the family this day, these days to come. Lord, 2012 is going to bring about so many changes in our life. Help us, Lord, to know the truth and to learn the lessons in the desert so that we will be victorious, and that we will have the peace of God and the God of peace. We will walk hand in hand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today as we start, it's a new beginning. Some of you may have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And my advice to you today is listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that led Jesus in the wilderness to be tested is the same Holy Spirit that will lead you to salvation. And if the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart today, what can you do? You can open up and say, Jesus, this is Your year. I'm Yours. And folks, if you'll do that by faith you trust Him, He'll come in, He'll give you a new life, a new creation of life, brand new beginning. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things have become new. Your sins can be forgiven. You can start fresh. This morning, you can drop off the burdens and walk out into 2012 in the power of the Holy Spirit, victorious over Satan, growing and living. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus this morning, I invite you to come and tell me that. Tell me that. Let's pray together. The prayer altars are going to be open. Other needs, if you'd like to become a part of this church family, we'll share with you how. What is God saying to you today? How is God blessing you in your life today? This is the year 2012, and it's beautiful, folks. It's beautiful. You're here. You started it right. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And as that invitation is 'tis so sweet.